Let us pray. Father, we thank you because in you we have life, in you we have grace, in you there is mercy to be found. Father, we thank you for this time of worship, that we were able to glorify your name, Father God, and we ask that you just continue, Lord, to be with us as we open up your word, Father God, and give us understanding, Lord, of the things that you have for us, Father God. Let us be able to rejoice in your name, to be filled by your grace. Father, we thank you because of who you are and what you've done. Be with us, Father, and allow your spirit to move among us. Give us understanding, Father God, and allow us to be focused on you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning. How are we today? You know, it's turning out to be a pretty nice day, I think. A little warm, maybe. But I believe on Tuesday, we'll be back in the 40s again. So don't complain too much about being a little warm. Welcome to the house of God. I'm glad you were able to make it this morning. I'm glad that we're able to worship together and open up God's Word together this morning. You know, today's message was going to be last week's message, and last week's message came out of, I don't know, from God, right, on running the race. So when I say we just celebrated Valentine's, like we didn't just celebrate it, but we did just kind of celebrate it, right, a couple of weeks ago. And you know, a few years ago, you know, I was looking through some old notes that I had and some old sermons that I've preached, and a few years ago I started with this, and let's see if you recognize this. Now, I'm not going to necessarily sing it to you, but I'll read through it and see if it kind of pops in your head what it is that I am doing. It says, "Oh, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do? Got to do with it. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken?" Recognize the song, anyone? Tina Turner, right? I wasn't going to sing it to you, but I was you know, looking over some old stuff and looking at what we have for today now, and we've been looking at knowing God better, right? And during that time, we said, look, love has everything to do with it because God loved us enough to send us His Son to die for us. So love had everything to do with it, right? When you know, I was looking over this song and the lyrics, and really it's a song dealing with more of a physical type of attraction, if you've ever really paid attention to it. And what she sings there, really, love has nothing to do with physical attraction. And that's what she's saying in that song, right, when you look at the lyrics. And some of us have sang that song, and now you say, oh, what did I just sing? But that's what she's talking about, this physical attraction to someone else and the getting together and all that other stuff. I won't go into too many details. But when we think about love and think about what God has done for us, everything He did for us was because of love, right? Everything that He did for us was because of love. And absent the love of God, there is nothing that He does for us. In the same way, when we think about our lives and what we do for God, love has everything to do with it. Right? We serve God out of love towards God. Right? We serve others out of love towards God. We do the things we do, or we should do the things we do, because we love God first. So you start getting the big picture of things, and you start to realize, man, God and love, it has everything to do with who God is and with who we are becoming in God. And one of the things that this love should lead us to do is to live in obedience to God. Right? It should move us to live in obedience to God. A lot of times we do things just to do them. We go through the motions and we speak things, or we say things, or we do, you know, whatever it might be, and we just go through the, you know, through the ritual and doing things. But you know, when we're being truly obedient to God, it has to be more than going through a ritual. But it has to be more than doing it just to do it. But it has to be focused on God. And let us look at what the Word of God says concerning being obedient to God. And as we seek to know God, as we seek to love God, then we need to live in obedience to God. If you will, let us stand up and turn our Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And if we would stand in reverence to the Word of God, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, it says, "Then Samuel said, 'Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams.'" Again, that last part, it says, "To obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams." You may be seated. And look at some context in this particular verse and the surrounding scriptures. Saul, you know, the king, the first king of Israel, had been ordered to go out and fight against the Amalekites and to completely wipe out the Amalekites, to destroy everything, to destroy their livestock, to just get rid of all things, right, dealing with the Amalekites. To not keep anything of it because it would contaminate who they were as a people for God. And what happens is that Saul, instead of destroying everything, he brings back some of the livestock back with him. But this isn't what God had requested of him to do. And as he is confronted by Samuel, you know, God's messenger, he says, Samuel essentially asks him, "Saul, what did you do? Don't you know that you were supposed to wipe everything out, and here you are bringing these animals and this livestock back?" And this was Saul's excuse for disobedience. He says, "I saved the best for the Lord. I brought the best back to give to him." He says, essentially, he said, "Look, I know what God said to do. I know what he wanted me to do. But you know what I did? I went ahead and brought back the very best of the land so I could give it to God. I know God told me not to do that. And I know he wanted me to wipe everything out. But I brought something back to give to him." And this was God's response through Samuel. He says in the verse we read, "Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention is better than the fat of rams." Right? God wants our obedience. He wants us to be obedient to the things that he has. When he is asking us to do something, he doesn't want us to change the path that he's put us on. He wants us to continue to move forward in the path that he's given us. And because Saul was disobedient to God and he failed to do what God wanted him to do, the kingdom was ripped from his hands, was taken from him, and he could no longer be the king of the land. You see what disobedience did with Saul. He tried to justify his disobedience by saying, look, I brought the best to give to God. What are the things that we say? What are the things that we do to try and justify our disobedience to God? What are the excuses that we make to justify disobedience to God? The response will always be the same. It is better to be obedient to God. If we love Him, and if we think about the love that He has for us, we need to live in obedience to God and follow the things that He has. Listen, if we are to call ourselves children of God, if we are to be faithful to the things that He has, then we got to be willing to follow the things that He says. And in order to be able to follow the things that He says, we have to know who He is. And if we don't know Him, how can we follow Him? How can we follow Him? Again, in speaking in disobedience, He says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, He says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you except to fear the Lord your God by walking in all His ways, to love Him and to worship the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Keep the Lord's commandments and statutes I am giving you today for your own good." Moses is coming before the people. He says, this is what God is requiring of you. This is leading up to being obedient to God. He says, you are to fear God. We are to fear God. Not a fear and as if, you know, I'm scared that He's going to strike me down, but a fear as being obedient, being reverent to who He is, to what He has done, and what He has given us. To fear God in this way is what we need to do. He says you are to walk in all His ways. He's telling the Israelites you are to walk in the ways that God has for you. And at the same time, when we look at our lives, what does God want us to do but to walk in His ways? And what's that mean? To be obedient to the voice of God. To be people who love God and love others. To be people who reflect who He is to the world. As we walk in the ways of the Lord, we reflect who God is to everyone around us. What else does He say? He says to love Him. To love the Lord, what does love have to do with it? Love has everything to do with it. Because without it, we're not here today. Without the love of God, we're lost. Without the love of God, there is no mercy and no grace extended to us. Without the love of God, there is no Savior. There is no heaven for us. But yet out of His abundance of love, we know how to love. And we are to love Him with all that we are, with everything that forms us. We are to love God. Listen, that's not always easy. Sometimes we go through some difficulties and we fall away, or we fall back, or whatever the case might be. But we are to love God consistently, every day, all the time, and never, ever give up. Are there stumbling blocks on the road of life? Yes. Are there difficulties that we're going to confront as we're walking for God? Absolutely. But should that make us stop loving God? No. Not even close to it. Imagine this. Jesus has been arrested. He's being led away by the Roman guards. I mean, this is after he had taken the ear of Malchus and put it back on his head where it belonged. Right? Because Peter, he thought he was brave enough and he chopped the guy's ear off. This is after knocking the Roman guards down by declaring that I am he. He's been arrested and he's being taken back. Imagine this. That when Jesus starts to get beaten up, when they spit on him, when they punch him, when they throw put the crown of thorns on his head, if he said, "Man, this is enough. I'm done with this. See you later. I'm going home." Imagine had he done that. Where would we be? Where would we be? But he didn't say that. He continued moving forward to his objective, which was the cross, where he would allow himself to be crucified, to give his life up for us. Why? Because he was being obedient to our Heavenly Father. And because he loved us. What are we to do with love? We're to be obedient to God. We are to live in obedience to God. What else? We are to worship him. We are to worship God. What's that mean? What does that look like? And we kind of spoke a little bit about it in Sunday school. And we said that worship is more than just singing songs on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening or wherever we sing songs to God. Worship is about living a lifestyle that's pleasing to God. Every aspect of our life should be pleasing to God. The part that is visible to the world and the part that's invisible to the world. Every single aspect of our life should be a life of worship. Inside of the house of God, outside of the house of God. Inside the privacy of our own homes and outside the privacy of our own homes, our life should reflect our obedience and our worship to God. That's what real worship is. That's what it means to worship God. And he says, to keep his commands and statutes, to follow his law and his will, wherever it might lead us. If we are to live in obedience to God, we are to follow Him wherever it might lead us. We are to keep the things, the instructions that He's left us, and be obedient to them. Jesus says as much as well. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things that I say?" why do you call me Lord and are disobedient to me? And then he says in John 14, 15, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me, you will keep my commands. God loves us so much that he gave his son for us. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. And our obedience should be to God. Our faithfulness should be to God. And what is the end result of all of this? What is the end result of it all? If we look back in the verses that we read in Deuteronomy at the very end of verse 13, for your own good, do these things for your own good. These are the things that we do because we love God. We worship Him. We're obedient to Him. We follow Him. And the end result that it'll do us good. As children of God, we have to be willing to live in obedience to God. We have to be willing to give everything of ourselves as we follow Him and as we submit to His will. Give ourselves completely in love and obedience to Him. Where do we stand today when we think about being obedient to God? Where do I stand? Where do you stand when we think about being obedient to God? If we could stand up. If we could bow our heads and close our eyes. Listen, I don't know how you are today. I don't know where you stand in your obedience to God. Maybe you struggle in this area. Maybe this is an area where you're easily tripped up and you're struggling with it. Why don't you come and ask for guidance? Why don't you come and put this area of your life in God's hands? Listen, there's times when I struggle in this area. I'll be honest with you. There are times when I struggle. Man, because sometimes life is difficult and it catches up to us. Why don't you come and give it up to God? Listen, if the Spirit of God has been speaking to you, if the Spirit of God has been moving your heart to submit to Him, and you'd like to do that this morning, simply raise your hand and we'll pray with you. If you'd like me to pray for you, for whatever it might be, you don't have to tell me what it is. Just simply raise your hand. I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? You know, as I pray, know that the altar is open. Know that you can come and give it all up to God. Let us pray. Father, we come before you and we give you glory, honor, and praise, Father God. Lord, we thank you for the love that you gave us, Father God, because you showed us how to love. Father, we thank you. We just thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we want to humble ourselves in your presence and we want to give up disobedience to you and take on obedience to you. Father, you know the struggles that we face daily, Father God. You know the pain that we feel at times and the difficulties that come our way. Father, we ask that you help us in them. That even though we might go through those things, that we may have to fight through those things, Father God, that we continue being obedient to who you are and to what you've done, Father God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, because of your truth and your love and your mercy and your grace. I thank you. And Lord, be with those who are at your altar, Father God. I ask that you bless their lives, Father, as they come and they lift up prayers to you, Father God. You know their hearts. You know their desires, Father, and I place them in your hands, my Lord. Father, I ask that you be with those who are in their seats, Father God, those who raise their hands, Father God, and acknowledging that they need you. Father, I ask that you bless them and that you keep them in your hands, my Lord. Father, I ask that you be with your people this morning and that you continue to mold us and form us that we may be obedient to you and that we may love you always. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to come together to worship your name. We thank you for the mercy and the grace that you've shown us. We thank you for your love that was demonstrated on the cross through your Son. We thank you for the guidance that you give us through your Spirit. We thank you for what you've done. Lord, be with us as we leave your house this morning, but allow us to be able to worship you and to walk in your presence wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to take just a moment this morning, and I want to ask Ricky and Sarah if they could come. I know they're up here already, right? But if they could come to the front, there's going to... And I think the kids are coming. If somebody can go get Hannah. Some of you may not know, some of you may know already. This is going to be Sarah and Ricky. This is their last week with us this morning. And they've been called to help a new ministry that's beginning in Baytown. To help out with a Spanish ministry that's going to be beginning at a church they were at previously. And God is calling them that way. They feel God's pull to go help with that new ministry. And we just want to pray for them as they leave here, right, and go help out in that area and the new responsibilities they'll be taking on. And as a family, we want to pray for them. I think they're going to go get Hannah. We'll, you know, as soon as Hannah gets here, we'll pray for the whole family. And you know, I want to thank them for being with us during this time period, the time period that God had them with us, and for the work that they did here in this house of God. And we pray that God continues to use them and continues to bless their family. And this, you know, just continue praying for us too, right, as a service here. As a ministry of Templo Bautista, that we're going to be in a little bit of a transition period. Don't lose heart, right? We'll be doing some adjustments here and there, but just keep coming, right? Don't give up. We will continue. This is where God has us. This is Well, we're going to continue serving God. I'm not leaving anywhere. I know the pastor scared a bunch of people last week, but I'm not leaving anywhere. You know, not that I know of right now, right? But what we want to do is pray for Ricky and Sarah and Hannah and this new ministry that they're going to be helping out with, that God may bless them. And if anybody wants to come and help me pray for them, just lay hands on them. You know, the ladies can come and help pray with, you know, over Sarah and the guys. If you want to come help me pray over Ricky. If anybody wants to lay hands on Hannah too, as they go to this this new ministry here, they're going to be helping out on. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the Davila family, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for lending them to us, Lord, for this time period, and we ask, Lord, that you continue to bless them and you keep them in your hands, Father God, and continue to guide them, Father God, and allow them, Lord, to be the team, Lord, that you have, Father God, that they may be able to help in this new ministry that is going to be beginning, Father God. We ask that you give them wisdom and understanding, Father God, as you lead them, Lord, to whatever area they're going to be helping at there, Father God, and just to help them, Lord, to seek you first, Father God. Lord, we ask, Lord, you be with Hannah, Father God, and you bless her little life, Father God, and just continue, Lord, to help her to mature and grow in your ways, Father God. Again, we ask that you be with Ricky and Sarah, Father God, and just bless them and keep them, Father God. Be with this new ministry, Lord, they're going to be starting up or helping in, Father God, and that you would bless that ministry as well, Father, and that you allow your spirit to move there, Father God, and that your grace would be just manifested in that place, Father God. Lord, again, we thank you for this time that we've had with the Davila family, Father God, and the work that they've done here for your glory. We thank you and we honor you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys will be missed. But we don't have to lose communication and touch. They're still our brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? And they're just going to go work for God in another place. But we'll still be together.